It'll encourage you. It'll help you to be able to see some things, hopefully a little more clear, and get some revelation from God this morning. That's really what it's about. We want to be able to have life change, things that take place on the inside where we grasp God in a deeper way than we did before we came in, and that we can grow in our faith. And we're in this continual process of growth as a Christian believer, and this is certainly part of it here where we gather together in fellowship. So let's press in and start with some prayer. Father, we just thank you this morning that, Father, we get an opportunity to come and to be in your presence. We can worship you together as we've done, Lord. We pour our hearts out to you, and now, Lord, we ask you to pour into us through your word, Lord. Let your word speak clearly, boldly into our lives, Lord, this morning, that we receive things that will help us to walk out the life you've called us to as a Christian believer, Lord. We're loving you. We thank you for it. We pray you in Jesus' name. We say amen. Amen and amen. You know, we often talk about in Christianity, we talk about our relationship with God. Okay, that, yeah, I have a relationship with God. I have a personal relationship with my Savior. Okay, and I think when I was looking at, you know, kind of throwing a title on this, I put God is speaking, and I guess in my note it says God is speaking to you. Okay, because I think everybody needs to know that God is not just speaking. He doesn't just speak to me. I'm special. I know that, but I'm not that special. Okay. You can all say that you're special too. You get that? You know, God made you special. Okay, but anyway, we're all pretty special. But God is speaking. So let's talk about our relationship with God. Okay, it would make sense, since that we are in a relationship with God, that we would need to communicate with God. Okay, to have kind of a two-way communication, kind of back and forth. Okay, if you are supposedly in a, you know, what people would say is a close personal relationship with someone, and yet you rarely talk to them, okay, it really isn't going to be very close, and it's not going to be very personal. Okay, we have friends, but, you know, maybe less than close and less than personal. As believers, we're often known to pray, okay, some more than others, but we pray, right? We communicate with God. That is our way of kind of pouring ourselves out to Him. Okay, we tell God or talk to Him about our concerns. You know, we talk to Him about our needs and desires. We share these things with God. But the question remains of how does God then speak to us? Okay, we pray, we might ask for something, but what does the answer sound like when God speaks back to us? Or I want to say, what does it look like? Because God doesn't just speak verbally, right? So there's lots of things that are going to happen that we should be able to look at and see. Obviously, we know that God has spoken to us through His written word, right? This is the word of God. This is God's word for me. I live by this stuff. I know that it's true, and I stand on it. I have the promises and the guidance in there that we can stand on. Okay, but there's more to it than just that. Okay, we know that God gave us this word. Okay, it spoke to us through holy men of God. They wrote some things down that we can then use I don't know about you, but when I read sometimes, things just literally jump off the page at me. It's like God is speaking. Last night it was, I don't know what was going on. There was just things happening in the middle of the night. Margie and I were both laying there awake, and next thing I know, she's getting up and goes, and sometimes she'll go and lay on the couch, listen to the word, or do what she does. And I have my little routine at that point. I reach over and click the light on as soon as she leaves, and I'm going to read my Bible, and that just to get something from God. And last night was, again, one of those nights. I had to read 3 books before I finally got a message from God, and I was like, there it is. That's what He's trying to get across to me. And it was, I won't go into all the details on it, but that's just what happens. When you read the Word of God, I read until I get something, until God speaks clearly through His Word. Okay, so that's definitely one way that God speaks with us. We can get things that will reveal the will and ways of God. We get things that are comforting through the Scriptures. We do those things. But how else, okay, that one's kind of an obvious in my mind. So how else does God speak with you? Okay, what I see in God's Word, okay, from studying through it, is that God speaks continually, and He speaks in many different ways, okay, which really confirms my belief that God is not in a box. OK, Okay? He will speak in whatever way is necessary to get through to you, as long as you remain at least a little bit sensitive to him and his voice. Jesus talked about, my sheep know my voice and they follow me. So if we're listening for his voice, we stay sensitive to that. Okay, we can actually get and hear from God, and he will find a way to get through to us. So I've got, I think, 8 points for you this morning. They go kind of quick, but number one is this. You have to know this. Get this right away. God is, okay, God is speaking to you, okay, every day. And not just speaking in a way that you're going to have to try to figure it out all the time, but literally God is speaking your language. Okay, he knows. He knows who you are and how you understand. Yeah, I saw one statistic the other day that said that there's more than 7,150 different languages in the world. Okay, and God knows every one of them. Okay, that's what's impressive. God knows your language. And by that, those are, of course, are verbal communications, but still, God knows all those different ways. I think if God spoke to us on an audible voice basis, okay, on a regular basis, I think it'd be great. Okay, I've had a few times where I've heard the voice of God, or that I knew it was God speaking in an audible voice, and it stands out in my life because it's not as frequent as I would like it. I remember one time in an airport, as a young Christian, I had not traveled that much yet at this point, and I had a job that they were going to start sending me places, and went into an airport, and my first time flying, and I was by myself, didn't know where I was. Well, it wasn't the first time, it was the second time flying, but I was by myself, didn't really know anything about the airport or what, you know, it was the first time I had been in this airport. And I remember walking in with that uncomfortable feeling, and I'm standing in line. You know, I finally figured out, I think all these people are in line, I'll just get in that line and go talk to somebody. And so I'm standing there, and all of a sudden I hear, welcome, Gary. And it was right behind me. I mean, it was the person behind me, right? And so I turn. There's nobody behind me for like 50 feet. I mean, nobody had gotten in line behind me. And I know for a fact I got it in my spirit instantly. That was the Lord saying, I'm with you. Okay, I'm right here with you. And I got this sense of peace that went over me, and the rest of that trip was, it went well and is history. My point is, that was very simple. Okay, Gary, good morning. I'm welcome. You know, I'm welcome. And I got it so clearly that I knew that it was the Lord showing me that he was with me. Okay, I think if God spoke to us, boy, the kids are loud today. Praise God for kids. Amen? Amen. There's a lot more to communicating than just the audible voice. Okay, God goes in, I think in his communication with us, it goes a lot deeper than just an audible voice. I think it'd be great, right, to have an audible all the time, but it doesn't always happen that way. So God goes deeper in conversation with us than just verbal communication. He goes into the nonverbal communication. Okay, and that's where I find that God speaks in so many different ways that are kind of more subtle than that direct voice. Okay, rest assured though that, number two, that no matter how God speaks or his way of communicating with you, number two is that God knows how to get through to you. Okay, God knows your number. Okay, he's got it. He can speak to you in a way that will make sense to you. Okay, because we're all a little bit different. We've all had different life experiences. We all look at life a little bit different. We've all got different filters. Okay, but God knows how to speak to you in a way that'll get through to you. Okay, if you have decisions to make, if you have a direction to go in life, okay, or you have other things that you need to know, God can and will send a message your way. Okay, it's up to you then to receive that message. Okay, when I, a lot of secular jobs, I got into some supervisory positions over the years, and they would send you through trainings, and more than once, I've gone through trainings on effective communication, right? They're trying to teach you how to be a good supervisor, how to communicate with people, and I remember from those trainings, there's something that kind of stood out in all of them that they said something similar, and that is that there's at least three parts to every communication. Okay, there is a sender, there is what they called a medium, or a way of communicating, a manner in which you communicate, and then the receiver. Okay, and if you don't have one part or the other, there's no communication. It simply didn't happen, right? So let's say just for a second that I'm the sender, okay, and you all are the receiver. Okay, now I can communicate verbally and I can tell you what to do. Let's say if I communicated with you and I said, everybody please raise your hand. Okay, some people received it and did it, right? Okay, then I could do this and I could say, everybody go like this. You know, raise your hands, right? Now we got everybody lifting both hands. Okay, that's a verbal and got some nonverbal involved with it too. Okay, there's other things where you can communicate non-verbally without using any verbal, okay, just by my actions. Let's say I did this. Let's say I just do this. What does this mean? Huh? Praise God. Yeah, for me it means praise God, but what else? A goal. It could be a goal. Okay, so it means a few different things. Okay, if law enforcement has their guns drawn and I go like this, what does this mean? I surrender, right? Now, what if I did this? What does this mean? I'm ready to fight, right? So without even saying a word, I'm communicating. Okay, that's part of that nonverbal communication. God, I have found, takes it even further. And he speaks through circumstances, okay, in things that are maybe an action or a circumstance, a situation that comes up, and we have to kind of discern what that means. So here's an example. If I tell you, I am going to tell you something very, very important, but I'm not going to tell you until it's the exact perfect time. And then I kind of go about my business and lo and behold, I walk out the door and go away. What have I just told you? I told you that I'm going to tell you something. Okay? And if you believe me, then you know, pastor's going to tell me something. But if I just go about my business and leave without telling you, what does that tell you? It wasn't the perfect time yet. Okay, do you see that? So God speaks so often in circumstances where maybe we're asking him something, we're wanting to hear this right now, and God will give you the perfect answer at the perfect time, but just because it doesn't happen right then, we need to look into that, we need to see that, oh, God is communicating with me, God is answering my prayer, it's just in his way and not mine, right? You guys want me to tell you that important thing right now, right? Okay, that's the way that we tend to operate. Okay, well, you see how even in our little human world, I'd call it, how there's lots of different ways that we can communicate. Okay, I can do it verbally, non-verbally. I can show you circumstances. Okay, well, I want to look at a few Bible examples of some communication with God and see if we can gain some insight into it. Okay, see if we can figure out how we can hear what God is saying to us a little bit better. Because God speaks in a lot of different ways. Maybe you've thought of some. Yeah, we think, yeah, if I want to hear an answer from God, I read my Bible. Okay, that's one way to get it. I had a friend one time that she wasn't saved yet. And so I was telling her about God and sharing things with her. And I said, well, God said this and God said that and God said to do this. And God told me I need to move to this city. And so she's like, how is God talking to you? Do you hear an audible voice? What do you mean God is talking to you? And so my first response was, he speaks to me through his word. Okay, that's obvious. But there's so many other ways that he speaks as well. Okay, and those are some of the ones I want to get to. Now, there's a great story in the Old Testament about a young man named Samuel. Okay, he was given to, I like how Margie put it the other night. She said, his mom, Hannah, gave him to the church. In other words, and kind of let him be that servant in the church. Well, he sat under a mentor. He was actually a longtime judge named Eli. Okay, and Eli was in place for like 40 years. And anyway, Samuel sat under him and was supposed to learn and grow how to be a servant of God. Well, Samuel was in his sleeping space in the temple, kind of near the Ark of the Covenant. And the Lord spoke to him audibly by calling out his name and says, Samuel, Samuel. Okay, well, Samuel thought it was his master Eli calling him, so he jumps up, runs into Eli's room, and he says, "Here I am, for you called for me." And Eli's like, "What are you doing waking me up in the middle of the night? I didn't call you. Go back to bed." Okay, so he does. Then it happens a second time. "Samuel, Samuel." And he jumps up and he runs to Eli, and Eli says again, or he says to Eli, "Here I am, for you called me." But Eli tells him it wasn't him and tells him to go back to bed. Okay, but then it happens again. Okay, and after this third time, Eli is finally like, he's supposed to be a wise man of God in a temple and training him up how to do this. So finally, after the third time, he's like, "You know what? I think this is the Lord speaking to you." So he realizes that it is the Lord calling out to Samuel. So he tells Samuel, "Okay, here's what we're going to do. This time, go back and lay down. And if you hear the voice again, say, 'Speak, Lord, for thy servant is listening.'" So he does. Of course, he goes back to his room and it happens again. And the Lord calls out to Samuel, and Samuel says, "Speak, Lord, for thy servant is listening." And the Lord goes on to give Samuel a divine message that he then wants him to begin speaking, starting with Eli and his life. But then that was what kicked off his entire prophetic ministry for the rest of his life. It was that turning point in Samuel's life. Okay, my point is that God spoke to Samuel through an audible voice. He heard that voice calling out to him. That's number three. God does speak audibly to you. Samuel's mentor's advice was simply to make himself available and pay attention to whatever the Lord said. Okay, and that's the best advice I could give you. If you want to hear the audible voice of God, make yourself available to God and pay attention to whatever God says. Okay, Samuel was being trained up to be a minister of the servant of God. Okay, he was going to be a servant for the rest of his life of God. He knew this. They knew that that day was coming. The fact that God spoke to Samuel three times before they figured it out, it kind of resonates with me because of, you know, I hear that three times stuff and it resonates with me because I think of how often over the years God has spoken to me in threes. Okay, if you see a person three times within a couple of days that you haven't seen for months or years, and all of a sudden you keep seeing them, that is God speaking to you, "Hey, I'm laying this person on your heart for a reason." Okay, or if you get the same message from three different angles, you know, a podcast and your pastor and somebody else speaks it, and you get this same message as dealing with an issue in your life, God is speaking to you about that. It's time to pay attention. Okay, God definitely speaks in threes in a lot of different occasions. Okay, so number four, God speaks through visual circumstances. Okay, now God spoke to a prophet named Isaiah in several different ways, but it was definitely different than some of the other ways in the Bible. He spoke to Isaiah with something visual, kind of gave him a visual cue. I want to read this passage to you. It's in Isaiah chapter 6, about the first eight verses of that. It says, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I," this is Isaiah, "saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple." I'm just going to stop right there. Amen. I would love to see that and be that. Wouldn't you? "Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings, and with twain he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory.' And the posts of the door moved or trembled at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke." That'd just be an awesome scene right there. "Then said I, 'Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts.' Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar, and he laid it upon my mouth and said, 'Lo, this has touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged.' And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. What an answer, right? You ever said that to the Lord? Here's me, pick me, pick me. You know, it's like they're picking for kickball, right? Okay, only this is God's version of kickball. It's your life. Okay, and it's the plan that He has for you, and He's hoping that you'll be the one going, ooh, 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 pick me, pick me. I want to be on this team. Okay, and we step up and we say, that's for me. Okay, now we see a lot of different ways of communicating in this passage. Okay, Isaiah, it starts out that he had a vision of the king with a capital K. Okay, I think there's a, anyway, capital K. He was instantly humbled at the presence of the Lord. Okay, and he recognized his need to be cleansed. I realize there's a whole sermon in this one passage. I'm just not getting into it. But you see that he was humbled by it. He realized, I need to be made ready for service. And then we see kind of what I would call the visual voice of the angels. Okay, they spoke, holy, holy, holy is the Lord. They could speak, but they didn't. They put it into a circumstance where they went and they took these tongs and they grabbed a live, hot, burning ember off of the altar and came and touched it to his lips, signifying that he was now being made ready for service. Okay, Isaiah's response when he recognized that God had made him worthy to serve him was to answer the call of God by simply saying, Here I am, Lord, send me. Okay, you need somebody, I'm your guy. You did what needed to be done to make me ready for this. Yeah, I think there's an unwritten message in God's Word that implies that every time that God communicates with us in one way or another, He is doing so to prepare us for greater service. Yeah, He is preparing us. That's part of that. We talked about it in the Wednesday night group about sanctification, but this lifelong process that we go through of becoming more like our Savior, and the holiness and things just begin to come through us more when we learn to live from our spirit. And this is part of that, where when God is speaking to us, He's speaking with an intent to prepare us for greater service in the kingdom of God. Okay, God speaks through a lot of different ways. Number five, I already mentioned this one, that God speaks through His Word. He spoke to David through His written Word, and David concluded this in Psalm 119, 105. He said, Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. In other words, he was getting something straight from God and God's Word. The Apostle Paul is the one that said in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, he said, All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect or mature, truly furnished unto all good works. Okay, God's Word is a very, very common way for Him to speak to you. Okay, that's like I said, I like to read until I get it because I know that God is wanting to speak something to me every time that I pick up the Word. Okay, number six, God speaks through dreams, visions, and prophecy. Okay, He said in the last days that He would pour out His Spirit upon all of us. Okay, and we would speak to us, He would speak to us through dreams and visions. Okay, in Acts chapter 2 is where we read that. It's Acts 2, 17 and 18. It says, And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my capital S Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see divinely inspired visions. Your old men shall dream divinely inspired dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens, I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. Okay, God frequently speaks through visions, much more than we are probably aware of. Many of you have probably even had visions and passed it off as just a premonition or something that you kind of thought up in your mind. Okay, God speaks through visions on a regular basis. He spoke to the Apostle Paul in visions on numerous occasions. You can read it. These are New Testament guys. He spoke to John through visions, right? The revelation of St. John the Divine. We read an entire book that he called a vision. God spoke to Peter through a vision. Okay, and this one I want to elaborate on just a little bit. If you remember the story, Peter was preaching the gospel and doing what he does, and he gets to a point where he's sort of, I call it chillaxing, right? He's chillaxing on a rooftop, okay, kicking back and waiting for the next thing that God was calling him to do. And he has a vision while he's on that rooftop where God challenged a lifetime of believing a certain way about something. Okay, Peter had, you know, we all do. We've grown up. We have our traditions. We have our mindset in certain ways. And this is where Peter was on this particular issue. Because of growing up and learning under the Mosaic law, Peter would not eat certain foods. Okay, and God used this vision to show him that nothing was unclean because it was sanctified by the word of God and prayer. Okay, and God had to get this message across to him because this meant that the Gentiles were not as blasphemous as Peter thought they were, because they're eating all kinds of stuff that Peter wouldn't touch, right? He wouldn't go there. Okay, well, this actually helped to convince Peter that sharing the gospel with the Gentiles was not only acceptable, but that it was expected of him to share the gospel with everyone. Okay, it was such a life-altering belief change that God had to give the vision to Peter three times before he finally accepted it. Okay, and at one point, Peter even argues with God over it, saying, "Not so, Lord, for my lips have never touched anything common or unclean." Okay, he was trying to stand up, saying, "God, I'm already doing what we're supposed to do." But God was getting this message across that there was more to it, that he wanted him to let go of that, to be able to move on, to share the gospel. I think it was something that was critical for the expansion of the kingdom of God. Okay, God was trying to get a message to a guy that was very bold enough to pull a sword, cut off a guy's ear, right? Bold enough to confront Jesus, and Jesus is saying, "I'm going to go to the cross and die and be crucified," and Peter stands up and says, "Not so, Lord. Let it never be once named among them. Let it not be what happens to you." So Peter was a guy that had some boldness, and God wanted him to be the guy to take this message. Okay, but God needed Peter to change his mind on that subject so that he could use him in the kingdom of God. He was preparing him for service through this vision. I firmly believe that if Peter would have continued to reject God, okay, after three times having the same exact vision, okay, after three times, maybe four, five, six, I don't know how many God would have done. He's a merciful God. But I think God would have had to move on to the next guy in line and reveal it to them and send them out. Okay, that's why it is so crucial that we don't resist God when he's dealing with us about things. You know, I don't know about you, but I don't want to be passed up by God for anything that God wants me to do. If God is trying to get a message across, I want to pick up on it. I want to be listening, pay attention. I want to get it so that I can be used and made ready for that service or whatever God is trying to call me to do. Okay, we know that God speaks in a lot of different ways. I'm talking about visions, but I also wanted to talk about dreams, because God does speak to us through dreams. I have taught on it many times about the dreams that God will give, the symbolism that is in those. We have to seek to know the source of every dream that you have. And I'd say that for visions as well. You need to know the source. Okay, there's generally three different places that dreams will come from. They can come from your body or your flesh, okay, sort of maybe life events, maybe recent life events or things sort of being recounted or recanted in your sleep. Okay, maybe if your body gets involved in it, maybe you'll dream that you're freezing and that you have to go to the bathroom. Okay, and then you wake up and lo and behold, you left the window open, it's freezing in your room, and you really do have to go to the bathroom. Right? So that's your body affecting your dreams. It happens, okay, on a regular basis. Dreams can also be demonically inspired, okay, to try to frighten you or to confuse you. Okay, if you wake up from a dream and you have this dream on your mind when you wake up and you're just kind of disturbed by it, it was just kind of made you feel sick or empty or confused, okay, it's probably not a God dream. It was probably the devil trying to get in to pick on you a little bit, trying to stir things in your dreams. Okay, frequently, though, I have found that dreams come from God. Okay, that he speaks through your dreams. Almost everything in your dreams, the objects, the people, the places, the circumstances, the, you know, the weather, the clothes that people are wearing, the color, the feeling you get in the dream. If you're standing next to somebody and you don't know who they are, but you have total peace that this person is just a nice person, they're not going to do you any harm, that is completely different than being in a dream where these people make me feel great and this person kind of creeps me out. Okay, God has got a thing for every part of your dream, and all those things actually have some purpose. Okay, they have some meaning. And when you learn to interpret those things more accurately, you can actually gain some valuable insight and maybe even comfort. Maybe even a confirmation. God confirms things for me through dreams a lot, that he'll use it as a confirmation, or maybe he'll even give you some direction on where you're supposed to go or what you're supposed to do next, or, like I said, just confirming something that's already happened. If you think about Jesus' stepdad, Joseph, would be a good example. God spoke to him through a dream and told him exactly what he needed to do. Joseph gets up the next morning, tells Mary to pack her bags, and out the door they go, right? He knew that God had spoken to him. He just followed through on it. Okay, number 7. God speaks through the Holy Spirit to your spirit. Okay, spirit to spirit, that deepest part of you. Okay, the part we're trying to live from, they that are the sons of God are led by the Spirit, the Bible says, led by the Holy Spirit. We want to be led by what is deep within us. The Holy Spirit speaks to your spirit. Now, if you think about this, something you cannot see is speaking to something you cannot feel. Do you know you can't feel your spirit? You can feel your emotions, you can feel happy, sad, you can feel your body, you feel physical pain or joy or all those different things. Those are in parts of your makeup, but your spirit is not feeling. Okay. Something that is invisible, the Holy Spirit, is speaking to something that you can't feel. The only way that you can know what the Spirit is saying to your spirit is by faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Right? It's by faith that we're going to comprehend what the Spirit is saying to you. The Holy Spirit of God is speaking, and He is speaking to your spirit, revealing the deep things of God, revealing the message of God. Let's look at a scripture. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Starting in verse 9, we'll read 9 through 12. He says, "But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. But God has revealed them unto us by his Holy Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what knows the man the things of a man, except for the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God does. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, so that we might know the things that are freely given to us by God." Okay, God wants us to be able to understand what He is speaking to us in the spiritual realm. Okay, it is often no more than just a knowing inside. Okay, that's what I found. It's just kind of a knowing that I have to act on by faith. Okay? You know the right thing to do. That's where you get into those situations. The Spirit will be speaking plainly. You'll know the right thing to do. He's going to lead you with some peace. If you're in that situation and you feel like you're supposed to do this and you've got a peace about it, keep going forward until that peace is taken from you or the Spirit speaks and leads you in a different direction or does something else. Okay? If you have asked God for direction, if you have asked Him for clarity, if you've asked Him for guidance on something, then expect Him to reveal something to you. Okay? You're going to have to step forward that, "God, I don't know what I'm supposed to do, but here I go. We're going." And you start stepping into something. And here's what happens. You get to a line in your life and you've got to make a decision and you haven't heard. God hasn't, you know, underline something in your Bible for you. God hasn't spoken to you audibly. I don't know what to do. You're going to have to step over that line by faith. And you're going to have to believe that, God, I'm going to go forward believing that this is what you're speaking to me. And if it's not, okay, a couple of things are going to happen. Either God is going to throw something into the mix and alter your course right then and there, or maybe you're going to make a mistake. Maybe you're not going to hear God. Maybe it was your flesh that was making you do that. Most of the time, it's not the end of the world. If I step out in faith, I would rather do that. Because in my mind, if I'm stepping in faith, I'm stepping out with my faith in God. This isn't faith in me to hear right. This is my faith that God knows how to get the message to me. And if this is what I think I'm supposed to do, I'm going to step into that. And if it's wrong, I'm okay with that. Because I would rather step out in faith than not step out at all. Okay, to me, that's doubt. Doubt is not okay for me. So I'm going to step into it and see what happens. Okay, that's not going to keep me from moving forward in faith again. Okay, because I enjoy learning. I enjoy growing in my faith. I enjoy learning to hear God better. So if I step out and it's not God, guess what? Next time, I know that's not God. Okay, and so I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to make that same mistake again. That's it. That's what God wanted you to get from that. And if you get that, then the next time you're going to hear a little bit better. And guess what? If you try to stay tuned into God, you're asking Him, God, I need to know what to do on this, and I'm stepping out in this direction. I believe this is you. You're not going to make very many mistakes. You're just not. God will be speaking and you'll be hearing and stepping out in that. God will be able to get that message across to you. Number 8, last one this morning. God speaks through people. God speaks through people. He's going to speak through me as your pastor. God set you in a body of Christ. Okay, He put you in here for a reason. He's going to speak through me. You're going to get some things from me. It's going to guide you. It's going to correct you. It's going to help you and confront you on different things. It's going to help to launch you into better things. God is going to use me to do that in a lot of ways. I understand that responsibility. God is going to use the people that you're sitting next to. Iron sharpeneth iron, the Bible says in Proverbs. Okay, it's about having people that can help hold you accountable and speak into your life. God is going to use your lost boss to speak into your life. God's going to use the little kid that stood behind you in the grocery line to speak to you. Okay, to be able to get messages across in whatever way that it takes, God will use people to do that. Remember, we talked about Peter and his vision. Okay, Peter has this life-changing vision, and then the Holy Spirit speaks to him, telling him about something that was about to happen. Then the people who God had sent to guide Peter on his journey show up at Peter's door, at the door of the house that he's in, knock on the door and say, hey, we're here looking for Peter. There you are. You need to come with us. Okay. So in a matter of one little day for Peter, he has a vision. He hears the Holy Spirit speaking. God told him what was going to happen next through the Holy Spirit. And then the guy shows up and they tell him in person, hey, God told us we're supposed to come get you. It was like all these things happened at once. I want to read this to you. It's in Acts chapter 10. You remember what I said earlier that Peter was chillaxing and had this vision? He was on the rooftop of his house. Okay, now listen to this. In verse 17 it says, now Peter, while Peter doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate. And they called and they asked whether Simon, which is surnamed Peter, were lodged there. While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, behold, 3 men seek thee. Arise therefore and get thee down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Then Peter went down to the men which were sent unto him from Cornelius and said, behold, I am he whom you seek. What is the cause wherefore you are come? And they said, Cornelius the centurion, a just man and one that feareth God and of good report among all the nation of the Jews, was warned from God by an holy angel to send for thee into his house and to hear words of thee. Then called he them in and lodged them. And on the morrow, Peter went away with them, and certain brethren from Joppa accompanied him. Okay, now Peter is a New Testament believer, just like you and me. Okay, we might not be as famous as Peter, but we're just like he is. God gave him a vision. He was pondering on it. It literally says doubting what this vision meant. You know, he's like, God, you're changing my thinking on this. God showed him something in a vision. Then he spoke through the Holy Spirit to him and then orchestrated some circumstances to help Peter to confirm it for him, to get him where he needed to go. Okay, and God will do that for you too. When the Apostle Paul is another example, when he was converted, you remember his whole, he had a conversation with Jesus in the middle of a road on the way to Damascus. He was blinded for a time, but God spoke to a guy named Ananias and told him, go in and meet this Saul, soon to be named Paul, and help him. And Ananias did that, and Paul received his sight. Okay, I have found God speaks through people a lot because he's not just speaking to you, he's speaking to them, that person, that person, that person, and putting things into this motion that only God can do. Okay, God speaks in a lot of different ways. We've seen sometimes he speaks through angels. Okay, like when he sent Gabriel to Mary to tell her she was pregnant with the Son of God. Okay, that's an angel speaking. The Apostle Paul said at one point that we should be not forgetful to entertain angels, for thereby some of it, let me say that again. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels without even knowing it or unawares. Okay, sometimes God sends people into your life and you just need to go through the motion. Okay, God is going to speak through somebody, maybe even through an angel. I see in the New Testament several times when God gives someone a vision, talks to them through an angel, and then the angel tells them to go see somebody else who's going to tell them what to do. Okay, now these are promptings you're going to get from the Spirit. I don't know, I've seen some visionary kind of seen some angelic kinds of things, what I'm trying to say. But to be able to say that an angel came and told me to go do this and then I did it, I don't know that I can say that. But what I do know is that I've had promptings in my spirit that say, I should call so-and-so. I need to call my buddy up. I need to go see somebody. I need to pay attention and listen. And God will begin to guide and to show. I want to show you one last passage here as we close out this morning. In Acts chapter 1. Remember how Cornelius sent some people to go get Peter? Here's the passage. It's in Acts chapter 10, verse 1. It says, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian Band. They played all Italian music. I'm just kidding. They were called the Italian Band, a devout man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. He saw, okay, now Cornelius saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming to him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? And he said unto him, thy prayers and thine alms shall come up for a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa and call for one named Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodges with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. Okay, has a vision. The angel in this vision tells him, send people to go get Peter. Tell them to bring Peter back and Peter will tell you what to do. Okay, there's a whole sequence of God speaking and orchestrating things. An angel spoke to Cornelius. Tells him to send men to Joppa to get Peter, who, when they brought back, Peter tells Cornelius that he needs to accept Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. Okay? You can see why it's important to listen and follow the instructions that you hear. Okay, God had to really work on Peter to get him off that roof, to get him to come and to go and to do all that. But he knew what it would take for Peter. Okay, he gave him the vision three times. Okay, then the Holy Spirit spoke to Peter and he's like, I'm going to send some men. They're going to come knocking on your door. So then knock, knock, knock. Now Peter's like, oh, I bet you this is what the Spirit was just speaking. And he goes through all those motions and eventually gets to Cornelius' house and shares the gospel with him. I promise you that God is speaking to you. Okay, God is speaking to you today. He wants to have conversation with you back and forth to be able to reveal things unto you. He wants to show you where to go. He wants to tell you what to do and what not to do. He wants you to know what you need to know to get ready for the next thing that's coming. He wants to share words of comfort with you. He wants to share words of encouragement with you and words of wisdom so that you'll know how to respond. He'll share words of knowledge so that you'll know things that you had no other way of knowing but through a divine interaction with God. God is speaking to you today. God is speaking to you every day. Okay, so tune in your spiritual ears. Okay, start paying attention to how God is speaking to you. Ask Him and expect to get an answer. Okay, Jesus said, whoever asks shall receive. You ask and you receive. Okay, so start believing by faith that you can hear God. Okay, Father God, we are praising you this morning. Father, we're going to communicate right now our faith and our belief in you, our trust in you, our thanks to you, our praise to you. We acknowledge you for who you are, Father. I thank you that you love us so deeply, that you'll speak to us through your word, through people, through the Holy Spirit, through angels, through visions, through dreams, through all these things, that, Lord, you will find ways to get the message across to us. Father, I pray that our hearts stay tender towards you, that we yearn for you, that we cry out to you, that we ask of you and seek you. For I know that they that seek you will find you. Lord, thank you for speaking into our lives today, Lord. I pray that you'll help us as we go forth from here to have a greater awareness of your voice in our life, that we can hear your voice, that we can acknowledge it and follow you in your way. Father, we trust you, we thank you for it, and we pray. You for it. It's in Jesus' name that we say, amen. Amen and amen. God is speaking. Amen.